Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
I mean, about the business. Ain't that right, Joe?
Joe Madden.
He's got that flair about him. When his name's announced, the place erupts all the time, but he's always in the middle of something good.
Manager for the Chicago Cubs.
And then Cliff and Shelley, the Penguins. I mean, all this stuff, the Penguins, like, pooped all over. They poop every 15 minutes, apparently. That's what Penguins do. All over the brand-new rug on the other side. That's what's kind of fun to watch.
Hey, I learned a lot from watching Joe.
Joe Madden with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
Okay, nice.
Usually we talk with Joe Madden on Tuesday, but he was nice enough to kind of step aside for us yesterday, and we had a great hour with Wilson Contreras and Albert Almora Jr. So Joe is here today, which is fantastic. He joins me on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. 500 new and used vehicles are waiting for you at Alpamonte Ford. Joe, how are you, sir?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How was the radio show on Monday? I heard a little bit of it. I enjoyed it.
It was fun. Of course, having Coom there made it all work. So Ronnie is so good at this stuff, and he and I have been talking about it. I alluded to that on the show the other night for a while, and then to have David there and Riz there, and of course Johnny Vincent to conclude it with little Sinatra. I thought it went really well for our first take. Our next planned one is I think it's July 14th, a Sunday, right after the All-Star break, and then after that maybe we'll get into a more consistent schedule.
Okay, I really like that idea, and I actually was thinking about it yesterday. You should just turn it into a TV show for Marquee next year.
Like, it's that's just what I thought about that. A black and white. I still want a black and white TV show. I thought that'd be great. But yeah, I like the format, conversational. I really want to be able to highlight some of our guys, what they do off the field. Like Riz had a chance to talk about his foundation the other day, and actually David and I just extemporaneously started talking about that moment in the World Series, so it was kind of fun.
Yeah, and what it made me think of from, you know, my friends that were there, the folks that work at the Score, they were telling me that, you know, Joe brought records and, you know, he had a glass of wine. It made me think of Sam Rothstein and Casino, like when he had his show. I feel like that's the show that you should be doing next year for Marquee, where it's just you and a couple of chairs, a nice, like, old school, like, Jack Parr, Johnny Carson type set, and just go crazy.
Well, that's, you know, kind of that's what Coom and I have been talking about. The thing the other night, they had originally, that our staff had set up some chairs lined up in a row, and I thought it'd be better to have it at a table where we could actually be looking at one another. And again, I think when you do that, it's just one of those weird things as human beings. It creates the conversation. I think it makes it flow somewhat easier. And, you know, we'll get more comfortable and better at it as we do it more often. But I like the concept. I'm a fan of the old talk shows late at night, and I'm not comparing us to Tom Snyder or anything like that. But all those old shows I used to watch, staying up late at night, just – I actually did the Charlie Rose show one time, and it's kind of I've always really enjoyed watching his shows in the past. So all this stuff, I think, has a chance to come back.
Joe, we're closing in on the halfway point. What encourages you about your squad, and where do you think you can get better?
Well, the unity really encourages me. I mean, and that's maybe off the path a little bit, but we had one of our meetings yesterday with our lead Bulls, and It's really obvious how closely knit the group is, how much they care for one another, how they pull for one another. It really starts there. Without that, it's really hard to imagine getting where you want to be by the end of the season. So it begins with that. I think overall, the starting pitching will hold up. The fact that we're able to interject a sixth starter here or there with some really talented guys, I think is going to take some of the load off them and keep them fresh for the end of the year. With Craig Kimbrough showing up, I think the bullpen's going to continue to get better. And in spite of the loss last night, the bullpen did a great job. so that's going to stay, I think, well. Now, the next point is just like yesterday offensively. We have so much offensive talent, and we've got to figure out a way how to win a game like last night somehow late. We had opportunities. It didn't manifest itself. But I think the real run comes through the offense. I think we were able to play pitch, defense, bullpen. We had a base running gap last night, but overall, I think all that stuff is in place. The consistency from the offense is really going to permit the run.
Obviously, on the squeeze, you were looking for something different. How did it go wrong?
I'm sorry.
On the squeeze play.
On the bunt play?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, see, Javi was just trying to create something right there. When a bunter bunts to a pitch that looks like a strike and you're in the runner on third base in that play, it puts you in a bad spot. I mean, you could actually see if you, from that side, if you think the pitch is going to be bad or it's not going to be buntable, then you don't take as aggressive of a move. But as it looked from the side, it looked like Ebro was going to be able to put that pitch down and was unable to. And then once Javi got out there, he tried to manipulate and have the catcher throw the ball to third. And had he done that, he would have broken for home. So that was A.B. Wilson on the other side. Whenever Javi's the lead guy in a rundown, there's the anticipation he might get out or even get back to the base that he had been. So you don't really just go. And I think that's what happened to Wilson. He got caught in between. And my overarching point was I was trying to get Moore up there with the bases loaded. So even if we put the bunt down to get thrown out at the plate on a force play, at least Albert comes up. So I'm trying to avoid a double play. We got it, plus the fact that her pitcher had to lead off the next inning.
I heard you in the postgame yesterday, and it made total sense with Contreras on the back end because we've seen Javi get out of that stuff before. So you might hesitate if you're the caboose on that play because you want to give Javi the opportunity to either score or get back to third.
Yeah, I think that was the unusual part about that. A lot of times as the runner, you just want to get to the next base and just stay at that base, and we have it, and everything's cool. But there was a chance that it could have got back to the bases loaded, and that's why I think Wilson hesitated.
What did you think of Adber Alzolay last night?
Love it. I'll tell you what I loved. The first pitch homer, I mean, I didn't love that, but I loved what happened right after that. He did not lose his composure one iota. This guy has a way about him that it's I belong here kind of a thing, and I mean, an attitude in a good way. So did not like the homer per se, but I liked the way he responded to it. I just thought at the end he kind of lost his own a little bit. Maybe a call or two versus their pitcher could have gone the other way, which really would have set up that game entirely differently regarding bullpen usage, all kinds of stuff changes at that point. So, but overall, man, he had really good stuff again, and he's going to be quite a pitcher for us.
So will he make another start for you?
We're still discussing that. We're kind of we got the today Darvish, tomorrow Chatwood. We got Cincinnati laid out, and then once we get to the Pittsburgh end of things, by the end of the week, we'll have that figured. So we still have some discussions to be had here.
Okay, well, talking with Joe Maddon, Cubs manager here on The Score. We usually talk with Joe Tuesdays at noon. We moved him to today at noon, and it's a treat for those of you who don't necessarily listen on Tuesday to hear Joe today. What's the latest you can tell us on Brandon Morrow and Craig Kimbrell?
Well, Craig's really close. Kimbrell's very, very close. He's getting eager. And we're not going to be able to hold him back much longer. So we're going to probably make a move on that relatively soon. Brandon Morrow, I don't have anything substantial to give you right now. He's still not close to being here yet. So obviously Kimbrell is, and Brandon's not. So just stay tuned because, like I said, Kimbrell's really getting itchy.
Yeah, he's getting itchy, and it looks like everything, like from a physical standpoint, has gone well for him down in Iowa.
Yeah, absolutely. He's done everything right. He's feeling very good. He's responding well after he throws. The next level, just by getting into a major league game with the adrenaline flow, you're going to see all those numbers probably jump a mile per hour or two. So, yeah, we're eager to get him. And once that occurs, obviously your bullpen gets longer, like we had talked about. And then you see Sheck moves back, Pedro moves back. Kinsler moves back, all in a good way. And really, from last night, it was very encouraging to see both Montgomery and Brock pitch as well as they did.
We've talked a little bit before, and you even mentioned here, where you're going to still continue to kind of monitor what's going on with your rotation and who gets start, who doesn't get a start. I want to talk about one of the guys in the middle of your rotation, Jose Quintana. He hasn't quite been his best self in June. Well, what's the key to getting him back on track, and can he find that feel for his changeup again?
Yes. I think the biggest thing right now, we're giving him an extra day or two. I can't remember exactly going into his next start. And that's where this sixth start is going to be very important for us, to interject this guy to give the regular starters a rest. I think just by an added day or two, you're going to see an uptick in his stuff. The biggest thing with me for him is counts. I've already spoken to him about it. I talked to Tommy about it. And I showed him some information. The 1-1 count, really turning that into 1-2s and not 2-1s. That's where, if he's really able to do that, he'll start pitching like you've seen in the past. And I think that's The bigger concern that I have is just to manage accounts.
Okay. 6.39 ERA for him in June, 4.05, I want to say, for him in May. So hopefully Quintana can get back to being the guy that he's been for most of his career. Looking at you, Darvish.
And he's not injured, and when a guy like that, it's not good. And there's nothing wrong with him. I anticipate him coming back.
Okay. All right. Great. Darvish has been going deeper into games so far this month. How does that continue to be his path?
First of all, the fastball command has gotten so much better. And on top of that, when that is in place, then all these other things that he does. The splitter, he's getting more aggressive with the splitter, which is really an outstanding pitch, too, and could play very well tonight against this particular club with their lefties. So I just think his confidence is soaring. He's throwing the ball really, really well. Again, without pushing him too hard and giving him an extra day now and then, I think he could continue this for a bit. We're seeing a lot better. We still haven't seen the most positive upside of him yet, but he's definitely trending in that direction.
Tommy Hotovy was on our station earlier today, and he was saying that you does some of the mental stuff where he's out on the mound with no one out there, kind of going through the lineup in his head. Why do you guys think that that's a valuable tool?
Visualization always has been. I'm sure you've done it in your past. I really believe in visualization. That's part of preparation, seeing things before they actually occur. I try to do it with the game itself. I try to play the game in advance of the game. Game in progress, you're always going two or three innings in advance, attempting to try to visualize what may occur. From a pitching perspective or a hitting perspective, I think it's really valuable to spend that time in your mind's eye and seeing what you want to do and seeing it being done successfully. I think all that stuff matters. I've been a proponent, and honestly, I could tell you, even when I was a kid in Little League, visualizing pitches and hitting pitches in advance of the moment. So I think it's awesome that he does that. You is a unique young man, and he has, like I've said before, a lot of great qualities. And I like the fact that he's so much into the mental game, and that's really what's going to make him, like I mentioned earlier, you're going to see the best part of him in the near future.
Last night in post, you talked about situational hitting, runners in scoring position in particular. What's the message that you're trying to get to your guys?
Well, the big part of the art. I'm really a big believer in that. When it comes to RBIs, that's not to say you can't pull the ball. But what you should really be focused on is the big part of the yard. And when you do that, you have less likely to roll over ground balls. Runner on third, less than two outs. If you look at it, I think I'm pretty certain the majority sacrifice fly balls. You hit from middle to the opposite field. It's easier to lift the ball there consistently. When you try to lift on a pull side, a lot of times it will be a rollover ground ball. So I just like middle. If the ball's on the ground, the middle infielders are moving towards the middle, which also permits you to start a runner at third base with less than two outs. The middle of the field is your friend, and I really want us to understand that. And again, it's not about you absolutely can swing at the first pitch. That's in the mix. But understand the pitcher's in trouble, and I really want you to go to your strength first.
So if I remember it right, when it comes to you in meetings, it's spring training, middle of the season, and then if you getting ready for postseason play. So once we're here and into the middle of the season, what types of things do you talk with the guys about that are important for the last 3 months of the season?
I'm going to be real simple. Again, I've talked to you, we've talked about it a lot, and we're just talking about it. I would just like, you know, the big part is too for the pitchers to dominate the 1-1 count. And then when you get a shot after we talk, just look at the differences between when a pitcher moves a count to 1-2 or to 2-1. And then again, of course, what happens to the hitter under those same circumstances. And then beyond that, with the offensive side of things, to really, if we can maintain that middle approach and understand to utilize the whole field in RBI situations, we have to get better than that. At that, we have to be better at driving in runs when runners in scoring position. That's going to permit or help with the run. I think we're going to pitch to the same standard. I think we're going to play defense, run the bases to the same standards. The thing I want to see us get more consistent at is the offense, and I believe against better pitching, it is going to be about situations, middle of the field, good at-bats, accepting your walks, moving it on to the next guy if necessary. These are the kind of thoughts we have to get across.
All right, Joe, I have a fun question before I go to the box of fun questions, and it comes from what happened yesterday. So I had Wilson and Albert. We were together. We did a whole hour. They were fantastic. And if Albert wants to do a talk show or be an analyst when he's done, I think he's got a bright career ahead of him in that regard. I asked those guys, who's the guy in their clubhouse that they most don't want to fight? And after, you know, I eliminated Wilson from the conversation since he was sitting there.
One, right there, okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's 1A, right? You know, like
right, absolutely, no doubt, no doubt.
The name that they came up with surprised me because the way that Jason Hayward is built, I thought, well, he would be high on the list. They went to Tyler Chatwood as their choice.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, God, he's a bulldog, man. And I think part of it might be his glare. You know, he could have definitely played in the Game of Thrones. He's got that look about him. So I could see that. But I also think Javi. Don't underestimate Javi. Javi's a bigger man than people know, and he's extremely strong. But Chatwood, I think, could win the contest just based on his glare alone.
Is there a manager that you would not want to fight?
Cap. Gabe Kapler. I mean, my God, Cap was one of my players, the guy. Calculates everything that he puts in his body. He works out incessantly. Really like Cap a lot. So let's stay away from Gabe Kapler.
Yeah, he's yoked up. Yeah, that's a guy that you probably want to stay away from.
Yeah, exactly.
So the listeners came up with some good questions this week, Joe. This is I think, right in your wheelhouse. Okay. This listener wants to know, if I gave you a $10 bottle of wine and a $100 bottle, could you tell the difference?
There's some that are really close, real close. Depends on the $10 bottle of wine. Now, there's some $10 bottles of wine immediately. I call it headache wine. You know, it's just a real young wine, and it doesn't have any finish to it. And the taste just does not have that finish that you're looking for. So, no, there are some. But then again, there are some that you would have a hard time with, no question. And that would be done through research. A lot of times for me, that would be a nice European. And again, Spain, and even some that I've had from, I think it was Chile. I had some from down there that I, in Argentina that I got that really can surprise you. And even like, what's the, there's a California red, and I'll think about it in a minute, but there are some that would be very difficult, but then there are some that it's really easy.
This other one is, if you had to stay one age forever, what age would that be?
One age forever, I think that would be like, for me, it would be like 25. It sounds like a really good one. I like 25. You know, when you're still a teenager, you know, at 25 with some money, with a good job, let me put it that way. Because when I was 25, I didn't have any of that going on. I didn't even have my own car, basically. 25, you know, you know, everything feels pretty good. You could still run. At least I could have still at that time. Everything works quickly. You can recover from a night out on town yet. I think 25 is kind of an optimal moment.
Joe, as always, thank you for the time and the information. Good luck against Atlanta.
All right, brother. You take care, man. Thanks.
That's Joe Maddon, the manager of the Cubs. I didn't know that wine question was in the magical box. And if you're watching on 670thescore.com, this is the box of questions that we get from you, the listener, to give to Joe. And actually, wait, let me see if I can get that right. Joe's box. See, there you go. So if you got a question, hit us up on Twitter. We will, if it's good, we'll put it in the box and we will ask it of Joe. And it's hit Tony up too. Tony, what's your Twitter? Is it TonyGill670? Is that right?
Yep. How do you not know?
Because I just retweet you. I don't. It's, you know what it's like, Tony? It's like having everyone's phone number in your phone. You don't know anyone's phone number.
Yeah, it's weird. Like at a time, everybody knew everybody's number.
Fam.
You couldn't tell me, like, if you asked me what's my parents' numbers or my brother's or somebody, no idea.
Yep. I think I know like four numbers, my wife's number, my parents' number, my brother's number, and like the Score studio number.
Do you know more Twitter handles than you do phone numbers?
Easily. That's easily. But with you, I just always forget. Is it the same on Instagram too?
Yeah, same with everything.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, all right. We're going to take a break. I want to talk a little bit of basketball when we come back. I want to talk about, I want to talk about Jimmy Butler in particular and Daryl Morey. And I'm going to talk with my guys about it. And I just want to run something past you and see if it makes sense. We'll do that next here on The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago's sports morning show.
Good morning, Kobe. Welcome to Chicago. How would you describe Jim Boylan?
I've met Coach Boylan before.